today is according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. And he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself. Now, this is going to be difficult until I explain it. All right. Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. All right, the gospel of Christ. And so this translation that's being used, it's talking about earthly goods. When it's talking about, let me see here, Master says, and tell you, if you yourself by means of dishonest wealth, it's going to be worldly gain, is what that means in the original. And so what Jesus is teaching here, even though he's not saying this is how we need to act as far as ripping off your employer, but basically what had happened was this manager had these friends, and he was in charge of selling the crops and the proceeds of his boss's farm, the crops and the cattle and all that stuff. And so he was just telling his friends, hey, you know, don't worry about it, don't pay for it, this is just between you and me. And the owner, the master, found out about it and said, you can't work for me. You've not proven yourself honest with me. And so the guy went back and said, well, how much oil do you owe? And he came back and he said, 100 jugs of oil. And he says, go ahead and take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. And so what he was doing is where his master had been defrauded out of 100 jugs of olive oil, he just made back 50 of that. All right? And in the same way, the measures of wheat. He had been defrauded completely out of 100 measures of wheat, but he said, change that to 80 and pay your bill. And so the guy got off with 50 free measures of wheat, but his master was rewarded with, you know, the bulk of what he had previously lost. And so what Jesus is saying here is that this guy with a dishonest heart was able to deal with the people of his generation. And he knew he'd blown his job. The Bible doesn't say here, Jesus doesn't say that his master gave him his job back. The original wording still stands. You have proven that you cannot be my steward. I cannot trust you. But what he did get commended for was that he took a total loss and turned around and made some kind of a profit for the master. So he was shrewd in what he was doing, so that now that the steward has lost his job, he has still made some friends with the customers, so that now his hope is that he can go from house to house and they'll give him something to eat at lunchtime and something to eat at dinner time and whatever, so he won't starve to death. What Jesus is commending is that this man knew how to deal with his unsaved friends. And he says, now the children of my kingdom need to be wise like that. Not that you're going to go around defrauding people, but you have to understand how this world works. And here in America, you know, we have had a free ride for a while. How many of you remember pre-9/11? Okay. And, I mean, there was zero to very little security at the airports. We were used to just checking our bags, going through some kind of a inspection. Basically, you even didn't go through the, TSA didn't even, exist back then. But if you were flying domestically, there was virtually no, security. And only if you were flying overseas was there any kind of security. And I remember, pre-9/11, sitting in airports in Europe or whatever and hearing Americans, complaining about, here we have to stand in these secure lines and all that, because, hey, they've been dealing with terrorism for a long time over there. And I simply say, listen, this is how it's going to be in America one day, because we are living in a fairy tale in America. We're thinking that we are untouchable. And the world is just evil enough to try to prove to us that we are not untouchable. And then 9/11 happened, and what did we discover? We're not immune to the terrors of this world. All right? Bad people are everywhere. And so, but even after 9/11, we have been able to worship God pretty much as we please until COVID came along. And then the church surrendered her right to exist to an emergency. And churches were not allowed to meet. Now, that wasn't the situation with us. If I had been pastoring a regular church with our own facilities back then, I probably would have been one of the ones hauled off to jail. Because, no, you don't tell me as a pastor what I can and cannot do. I serve God first, and I love America. I will serve, the Constitution. I love America, but I trust the government about as far as I can throw it, all right? And you need to be aware of that. We have the best country on earth. I didn't say we have the best government on earth. Why? Because our government is occupied by people. And people are so subject to sin. And so we just have to be careful. But anyhow, that was worse than 9/11, because at that time, the government stepped in and said, no, you cannot meet as a church. And they used this excuse, public safety. And people were hauled off and put in jail. Pastors were arrested right in their pulpits. And it was really a rough thing. Here, the management company had said, we're locking the doors. Nobody is allowed in and out. Only emergency personnel are allowed in here. And I sat down with them, and we kind of struck a deal where as long as I was wearing, a decontamination suit, and I could still come and do communion. How many of you remember when we were doing communion during COVID? All right. I was wearing my little bunny suit with my little hat on and my little rubber gloves, and I'd knock on your door, and I would drop the host into your hand, and then I would hand you, wearing my rubber gloves, the cup, and we would enjoy communion, and then you would throw everything away on your side, and I'd change my gloves and go to the next door. And so we were conscientious about if there really was a problem, we weren't going to spread that problem. And if you were here during COVID, you know that during that time, we didn't have a single case of COVID at the Grand. And so God was merciful to us. All right. And so I, for the sake of just the privilege that we had been given to be able to meet here, I didn't want to press the issue and just be, okay, now the church is invited to just leave. And so we did what we had to do. But I can remember another time when I got a call from public officials saying, we want a record of every sermon that you preach. It has to be okayed by the Katy Police Department before you preach that message. Yes. Now, I won't tell you what the circumstances were. I will tell you my response. And I said, because the guy says, this is Chief so-and-so. And I said, well, Assistant Chief so-and-so, you do what you have to do. I will not allow KDPD to violate my First, Third, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. I will continue to preach the Word of God as God tells me to. And I guess we called their bluff because nothing bad happened, all right. But we have to learn how to deal with the world. And now they've gone to killing people. And so we just have to be, we have to realize that people are afraid. And when people are afraid, people are unstable. People fear what they cannot control. People fear what they cannot understand. And that fear will drive them to do terrible things. And so they had, many of you have heard of the green monkey experiment. Monkeys are not colorblind. And so they took this one monkey and painted him green and threw him in with the rest of his fellows. And they noticed that immediately all the rest of them ran to the other side of the cage and isolated this guy. They didn't know what was different about him. They just knew something was different. And so they watched the monkeys for the rest of the day, and nothing happened. They came back the next day, and all that was left were little tufts of green fur. Because what you do not understand, you're afraid of. What you're afraid of, you attack. And so, anyhow, the world is, you know, we're standing up and we're saying the truth, and that frightens some people because we're not saying, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. If you identify as a dog, well then, I will pat you on the head and give you a bowl of dog food. If you identify as a cat, there are classrooms today where the teachers are forced to treat the kids like whatever they're identifying as that day, including dogs and cats. Sorry, if I'm teaching in that class, it's little boy and little girl, and that's it. I don't care what you identify as. All right? We're not like that. Well, that scares people. So we need to make sure that they realize ours is a religion of love. Ours is a religion of acceptance. We don't accept sin, but we wholly embrace the sinner. Amen. Jesus said you need to know how to deal with these people because they are going to have an effect on the rest of your life. And then he goes ahead and tells us, you know, if you're faithful with a little bit, then people will feel comfortable in giving you more to be responsible for. But if you can't be faithful with a little bit, all right, don't expect more. And then Jesus breaks it all the way down to the common denominator. You're either going to serve this world, or you're going to serve God. Mammon, the pursuit of riches, earthly riches, temporary riches, temporary fame, temporary power, all this is temporary. If you live to be 100 years old, that's still a mere micro fraction of all of eternity. Amen? So he's encouraging us, be wise when you're dealing with the people of this world. You're in the world. You're not of this world, but you're in the world. You got to have wisdom when you're dealing with them. But the bottom line is, don't get too comfortable. This old world is not our home. Amen.
I'm going to close
with an admonition and to encourage you. In the portion of Scripture that Patricia read earlier, from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul, he gives just a little synopsis of the gospel message, who Jesus was, what he did, and what he is today. There's one God, there's one mediator between God and mankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's basically the gospel message right there. And then as he closes, which is his life, right? This is his life's message. And I would encourage y'all to find a favorite verse in the Word of God and let that verse become a life verse for you. Terry has hers. Mine's Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so it's important for us to know who we are in Christ. It's important for you to affirm that on a daily basis. And so as Paul starts off the second chapter in 1 Timothy, he gives them this little synopsis of the gospel message. And then then in verse 7, he says this, for this, the gospel message, for this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. And then he has this little parenthetical phrase, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And it's almost like we would say today, hey guys, no kidding. No kidding, this is the truth here. And he says, I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And so he recognizes that although Peter was given the keys, as Jesus prophesied, it was Peter who opened up the Gentile world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Paul who stepped through that door and ran with it. Peter and the rest of the disciples, apostles, stuck mainly with the Jews, ministered to the Jews. And as a matter of fact, even St. Thomas, who, started what was basically the Orthodox Church. When he came to India, he was coming to India because there was a settlement of Jews in Cochin, India. And so he came to India to bring the gospel message to the Jews. And then after that, to the Gentiles. He fared pretty well with the Jews. The Gentiles, the Hindus didn't like him so much and they killed him with a spear. But here the Apostle Paul, he's giving the gospel message in a nutshell, and he's saying, and this is what my job is. I'm a herald. What does the herald do? He just goes through the kingdom proclaiming the message. I'm an apostle, one who was sent to establish, a teacher of the Gentiles, and this is it. I teach them faith, and I teach them truth. And you can't have one without the other. You can have all the faith in the world. If your faith is in the wrong thing, then you're no more saved than, you know, those ugly old ducks that are out there somewhere, all right? You have to have faith in the right thing. He says, I teach the Gentiles faith and truth. And with the message that we heard today about learn wisely in this world, we'll combine that with Paul, who said, now this is my life's ministry. I am a teacher of the Gentiles, and I teach them faith and truth. And then my question to us this morning, and that question is what we will close upon, is what are we teaching the world around us by our words, by our actions? Are we teaching them that we are men and women of faith? And are we teaching them that we are men and women of an absolute truth? In this world, absolute truth is frowned upon. People don't want absolutes. They want grays. Okay? They don't want black and white. But there's only, when it comes to Jesus, there is only black and white. You have them, you don't. Amen? So what does your life reflect to those around you? And my prayer for all of us is that when people look at me, they see a man of faith. When things are falling apart around me and my family and whatever, am I scurrying about like the three blind mice because I'm motivated out of fear? Or do they see me standing firm on the Word of God because I'm a man of faith? What does the world see in you? We all get sick. Most all of us take the little trip in the ambulance once in a while. Some of us more than others. All right? And so, hey, we are still subject to the same weaknesses of humanity on this earth, but do they see us handling those weaknesses in faith or in fear like the rest of them do? Amen? Faith and truth. And sorry, we can't back down from truth. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Last time I quoted that over Facebook, I got put in Facebook jail for 2 weeks. Alright, so I just did it again. If you don't hear from me on Facebook for 2 weeks, you know, I got put in Facebook. Why? Because, folks, the world considers that hate speech. I've hurt feelings when I say that. But, folks, there's got to be truth. You have Jesus. You have life. They don't have Jesus. I wish I could weasel out and give them some little partial truth to cling to. That he who hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. World, this fallen world needs to see that in us. Amen? So, Father,